God, I know for me, my week is consumed with thoughts of these next few moments. And I know that very few others' thoughts are consumed with that. And yet, whatever viewpoint, whatever we come with today, I think we all have the same desire that you would speak, that we would listen, we'd be able to listen to what you have to say, that you would challenge us, that you would give us something that we need to do this week to help us, whether it be something we need to change or something that we just an encouragement being strengthened. Maybe something we need corrected. I just ask that it's so clear and that you would speak through me today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of my favorite writers, authors, or whatever is Oswald Chambers. Now, he doesn't write books necessarily, but somebody has composed a lot of his conversations, and they were written in what they call My Utmost for His Highest, and it's interesting enough, he didn't actually sit down to write those. Somebody kind of wrote them down from a Bible study that he was part of, and from time to time, we have these. When I read it, I run across, there's one for every day of the week, 365 days a year, and every once in a while, he says something, actually quite often, he says something that captures my attention, and sometimes it's something I need to stop and I need to think about, and so today, I've got one, all right? So we're going to just start with that thought. It's from Oswald. He says this: don't plan without God. God seems to have a delightful way of upsetting the plans we have made when we've not taken him into account. We get ourselves into circumstances that were not chosen by God, and suddenly we realize that we have been making our plans without him, that we have not even considered him to be a vital, living factor in the planning of our lives. And yet the only thing that will keep us from even the possibility of worrying is to bring God in as the greatest factor in all of our planning. In spiritual issues, it is customary for us to put God first, but we tend to think that it is inappropriate and unnecessary to put him first in the practical, everyday issues of our lives. Now, I have to be honest with you, some of what he says there I don't necessarily agree with, because sometimes I start to worry when I include God in the planning, because sometimes I'm just not sure if he's going to go where I want to go, right? So sometimes his plans and my plans aren't always equal, and I'm really rooting for my plan. So today we're going to talk about God's will. And through my life, I've asked God for his will. I mean, you know, when I was in high school especially, I didn't date a whole lot after high school. That might be a surprise to some of you, but in high school especially, the question I would ask God often is, God, is this the one? I mean, is she the one for me? And I would really be rooting for the girl. And sometimes I'd hear him, and it was no, but I didn't want to hear that. And so I just kind of pressed on. And sometimes it was like it was silence. And that silence, sometimes I'd be like, oh, this one has potential. Well, none of them worked out. And finally, I stopped asking the question. And finally, God said, this is the one. That's how that one worked out. But I asked God. I wanted his will on this. I mean, it was a big decision. I was going to be, you know, connected with this person the rest of my life. I wanted it to be the right choice. And so it was scary. And I included him in it. Well, I've bought cars before that I've asked God, is this the car I should buy? And I rarely say, God, is it your will that I buy this car? But more like, God, is this the car I should buy? Now, the danger I often find myself in is God my fortune teller? And that's not what we should live like. And yet, sometimes that's the way I begin to treat him. See, our desire should be that we discover what God's plan is. Not, can I have this? God, what is your plan? And that's a big change in our lives, I think, when our focus turns that way. I've prayed for people to for healing for people, and God didn't answer that. And you know how we wrestle with that, right? We go, well, I guess it just wasn't God's will. What do we do with that? I mean, what is God's will? You know, I prayed for direction in my career. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise to you guys, all right? Because most people don't choose this without God calling them to it. And if they chose it without God calling them to it, then I hope they don't succeed. I mean, that sounds not very nice, but I would hope. When I was in college, I had a choice to make. Where was I going to go after I graduated? I had two options, and I prayed for God's will in that. And I wish I would have had an answer like, boom, immediately. And it didn't work that way. It took actually longer than I would have liked it to make the decision. In fact, Dan called me and was like, hey, what's the holdup? So I was trying to listen for God's will. Sometimes listening to what God is trying to tell you, where you should go or what you should do, isn't always easy. There's a lot of... I've had trial and error before as well. Anyone else have experiences similar to that? Anybody? One or two of you? That's it? My hope is that we're thinking about, you're thinking about that interaction, you know, that Oswald talked about, that we take things to God and we talk about what His plan is, that we not only just ask His advice, but that we include Him in our plans. See, sometimes I rather would look to God for His approval of my plan. And I couch it in the term, God, is this your will? Or God, is this what you want? It's really what I'm saying is this is what I want, God. Would you bless it? And then we try to label it with God's will. And discovering the difference is a maturing process, I believe. So what do we mean when we throw that term out, God's will? You know, if somebody that doesn't know God sits into a conversation and we say, well, you know, it's God's will that I do this. How would we explain that to them? What do you mean, God's will? God's will, his desire, what his plan is, what he wants to see accomplished. God's will. His desire. Now, it's interesting. God doesn't get sidetracked when it comes to his will. I do. Do you guys ever get sidetracked? Where, you know, this is what we want to get done. A to-do list at home is a perfect example. And I have the to-do list of stuff that I want to, the tasks that I want to get accomplished. And I get started on one and I get sidetracked and it turns into like five other ones. And then Sabrina reminds me of the to-do list that I didn't get done. And the day's off is over or the vacation's done and it didn't happen. God never gets sidetracked. He has a desire and he has plans for us. Nothing that happens in our lives is wasted. See, as we live out our life, he doesn't get sidetracked. He doesn't get confused. He doesn't go, oh, well, what am I going to do with that? I didn't see that coming. Or, oh, I wish he wouldn't have done that. Now I don't know what to do with it. You see, that's the way I live. I've got a junk pile at home. Well, Sabrina tried to tell me that they've got several junk piles at home. But the junk piles, what they are is something breaks down or something happens and I go, oh, I can't throw this away because there's still some usefulness there. There's some parts to it that I might need. Now, some of you guys are like, you got a smile on your face because you know what I'm talking about. And what confirms the importance of my junk pile is when something breaks down, right? And instead of having to go to the store or get online and order something, I go out to the junk pile and I find what I need. I rummage around and I'm like, yes, this will work. Or even better, not only this will work, but yes, this is the exact piece I need. And there is a great feeling inside when I have saved the right things. And it's an awful feeling when you finally throw something away and then shortly thereafter you need it, right? God doesn't have a junk pile. He doesn't look at the choices we make in our life. He doesn't look at the stuff that we carry and go, man, I hope I can use this. Or, oh, we better hang on to that because that might be useful. See, God's desire, his plan, already takes that into account. Now, when we start talking this way, we get really close to talking about, well, who's in control? I mean, do we really have the free will? Do we really have the choice that we think we do? I mean, if God has all that figured out already, then are we just kind of like going through the motions? And we have to be able to say that God is bigger than we can understand. And he sees what we don't see. And somehow, he's not a puppet master where he's controlling our every move. And yet, even our failures, God is able to work into his will. Was it perfect? Well, his plan is perfect. Sometimes we don't throw wrenches in the gear, but we make decisions that make it harder on us, not harder on God. So what do we know about God's will? He has a will, but what do we know about it? Does suffering fit into God's will? You don't have to answer that question, but maybe we think about that. I've heard the question many a times. Well, you know, how come bad things happen to good people? Really what they're saying is how come if God has a great plan for each one of us, then how come bad things happen to us? Could suffering fit into God's plan, God's desire, God's will? Is God's will, does it include all details? Or is his will just this rough outline? What do we know about it? Is God's will consistent with who he is? I think this is a big one for us. And this one, maybe if we've never answered that question, or if we've never thought about that question, it's something that we should settle in our lives. Is God's will consistent with who he is? So when we follow his plan, will it be consistent with who he is? Just shout out. If you think it is, say yes. If you think God's will is consistent with who he is, always, just say yes. Okay, good. So we know that, right? And for some of us, we may have to say, well, I don't know. I never even thought about it before. If God, we're told, Scripture says that God is good. Yeah, all the time, right? So therefore, following God's will always be good. Will it always be enjoyable? Will it always be easy? In fact, we should know that the best things in life are the things that we work for. Now, I say that, and then I realize, except for the free gift of forgiveness that God gives us. All right? God's plan is bigger than we could ever imagine. His ways are not our ways. He sees what we don't see. And sometimes I think we may even have this box that we've created, that we say, this is God's plan, and it fits right in here, and that's it. And the minute we put it in the box, we have made God's plan or God's will too small. So just for fun, I want to see what you guys say, okay? What do you think, if we were just to back up, not the tiny details of our lives in God's plan, but what is God's overarching desire? If you were to say, as we backed up as far as we could, this is the big umbrella that everything falls under, what is God's will? Anybody want to guess? To get us closer to Him, okay? Anybody else? What's that? Our growth. So let me ask you, when we label it, can we ask why? And if we have an answer for the why, then maybe His plan is even a little bit bigger than that. So can we ask for our growth? Can we ask, well, why? Why does He want us to grow? What's his overarching will? Glorify Him, okay? So far, you're doing really well at staying with Scripture. That we would be like Him, okay? Anybody else? That we'd be witnesses for Him, okay? That we love Him, okay? Now, I had a little longer to work on this, okay? So, as I kind of tried to think, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and ask why, I kind of reduced it down to this. I want to hear what you think, all right? God's overarching desire, God's overarching plan is that everybody that wants to spend eternity with Him gets to. Now let me qualify that, okay? When I say wants to spend eternity with Him, that means that our lives will display that to some degree. We are expressing that with our life. That we're working towards knowing Him. That His overall desire is that everybody that wants to be with Him gets to be for eternity. Here's your opportunity to maybe make me stumble, okay? Is there a problem with that overarching will? I should have asked Dan before, because, you know, he's been preaching longer. Which part? His will? That God's overarching desire is that everybody that wants to spend eternity with Him gets to. Now, it makes me uncomfortable just to say anybody that wants to, because we have those people that want to say, oh, of course, I'd pick heaven over hell any day of the week. But there's a difference here. What I mean is that we choose Him, that we say, you know what? Do I really want what I think I want? Or do I want relationship with Him? See, being with Him for eternity is relationship with Him. C.S. Lewis said this. If not, it's a great quote, okay? And I've used it before, so some of you have heard it, that hell is God's greatest compliment to man. And I wrestled with that. I was like, that is something, I don't understand that. So as it is explained, is this, that God created a place where He isn't. And if you don't choose Him, you don't desire to be with Him, He's going to give that to you. Unfortunately, that place, a place that is absent of Him, is hell. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So everything good in our world today, everything good in our lives, is from God. Remove all of that. Remove God from that, and you get hell. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, torment, nothing good. So God's overarching desire is, if you want Him, wonderful. If you don't want Him, here's a place for you. But He doesn't want anybody to perish, and so He wants to give everybody opportunity. So we're to mature for preparation for eternity. Would that be safe to say? He wants us to be like Him, His Son, because part of that is preparation for eternity, but part of that is accepting that we're little Christians, that we want to be identified with His family, that we witness to others. Well, yeah, that's part of His will, because He doesn't want anyone to perish. So God's overarching will. I might have spent too much time on that. I hope it's all right, though. So let me ask you, will His will be done? No matter your choices, will His will be done? Can we mess up His will? You're right, no. Now, do we make life more difficult for us? Absolutely. But does that mean that God can't use it? He doesn't have a junk pile. Will He use it in maturing us? Will He use it? How many of us have been able to share what God has done in us because of some of the stupid stuff we've done? So God's will be done. So today we're going to look at a letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians, the church in Colossae. And as he starts his letter, what we find out is he's actually never met these people. So it's almost as though he could be writing to us, except for some of the things he says is because he's heard about them. And what he's heard about them, he's very excited about. It's Colossians 1. And as he talks to them, as he introduces himself, he shares that he's excited about them and that he's been praying for them. All right, Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. It's up on the screen, or it will be. Here it goes. He says to the church in Colossae, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light." That fits with God's overarching desire, right? That we will share with His people in His kingdom of light. The theme of Paul's prayer is knowing God's will. Our prayer is that you would know God's will. Why don't we bring that first slide back up just for a moment? The knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding. This isn't anywhere in my notes, but let me say this. The word He used for wisdom and understanding are not just a repeat of the same idea. The word wisdom that He used, Sophia is the word. It's an easy one that I can pronounce, okay? It meant that that you would have an understanding of His rules, that you would know them, His guidelines, that you would have wisdom, that you would know what He's told us to do and not do. understanding, the word he used, I can't really pronounce it, but what he uses for that word means for us that we actually put into practice what we know. So what he's saying is, in our language, it's almost implied. But what he's saying is, my prayer for you is that you will know God's will and you'll do it. It's a novel idea, isn't it? What a nice thing for somebody to be praying for someone else about. That you would know God's will and that you would do it. So is knowing God's will important to you? I mean, as we look at what Paul prayed for them, that they would know his will and they would do it. My thoughts are, okay, is on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is knowing God's will to me? How important is knowing God's will to you? Have you ever chosen your will over God's will? How'd that work out for you? I mean, if you were to sit down and just take notes, you know, I know that at this point I chose my will. I knew it wasn't God's, but I picked it anyway. Would you say that, this is just a rhetorical question, all right? Would you say that those times were good experiences? See, because I don't have any that were good. They're all on the negative side. Every time I've chosen me, every time I've chosen my will, it has ended up with not working out so well. Does it mean I fell flat on my face? No. Sometimes just there was this unsettledness inside. Regret. Sometimes the situation backfired on me. Other times, what it did was it just pulled me away from him. Because in order for me to do what I wanted to do, I had to distance myself from God. I don't want to confuse you. We talked about God's overarching plan. Now we're talking about, but how does it live out in our daily lives? And that God has a desire for how we live each day. But it all works towards his one goal. He doesn't waste any of it. It's working towards that goal. You think that's a good prayer? That we would know God's will and that we'd do it. It's a good prayer. I think it is. What I found interesting, though, is that we find throughout Scripture God talking about his will. Our will doesn't always match with his, right? Is that right? It's okay to say yes, because we saw in Scripture Jesus had a conversation with God the night he was arrested before he was killed. And as he wrestled with God, he said, you know, can you take this cup from me? Can you save me from what's ahead of me here? And as he prayed, his line that many of us probably have held on to is, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus chose the Father's will. Sometimes our will doesn't match with God's. When I think about God's will, I think about Matthew 25. Some of you know the story. There's a rich man. Jesus is telling a story, a parable to illustrate something. And a rich man's going on a vacation. He gives three guys some money. Actually, a huge sum of money. And he leaves. First two guys, they invest it. They get a great return on their investment. The third guy, he buries the money because he's afraid of the rich man. Master comes back. He comes in to collect his money that he had given to them. And the first two guys come in and they return the bag of money plus the amount that they got in return. And the response from the master is, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus isn't saying that that God expects or God's will is that we make lots of money. What he is saying is that God's desire is that we use the gifts that he's given us. That we don't just bury them. Because the third guy, he buried the money, and when he came back, the words from the master were, "You wicked servant." I wish there was like a fourth guy that would have invested and lost most of it. Because I want to know what God would do with that. Because that sounds more like me, you know? I don't know. I think he would have probably said, "Well done." It was the third one that did nothing with it. God's desire is that we use what he's given us. Paul's prayer has a really interesting thing. I am not an English major. It is lost on me. Punctuation, if you were to look at anything I've ever written, you'd probably bleed all over it with red pen because of my punctuation issues. Okay? But as I was reading this passage, they've got a colon in there and commas, and I thought, and so I looked at some other translations, and the punctuation in the other translations, it's all over the board as well. So I'm like, I wrestled with, well, what is a comma there for, right? And usually it's right before a list. And so as I was looking at that, I noticed he makes this statement, "so that." He makes it twice in the passage. Did anyone notice that? "So that." So let's go ahead and there we go. "So that." His first "so that" that Paul gives us is this. He prays that we would have the wisdom of God's will and we'd understand it, all right? "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." There's the colon. Why should we know God's will? So that we live a life worthy of the Lord and that we please him in every way. If we're working towards his desire, we're pleasing him. But what does it mean to live a life worthy of the Lord? And what does it mean to please him in every way? Colon. It means that we bear fruit, that we grow in the knowledge of God, and that we're strengthened, that we get stronger. So let's back up. When we know and understand, in other words, when we know God's will and we do it, we start to bear fruit. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want to be a branch that bears fruit. Because Jesus tells us the branches that don't bear fruit are the ones that get chopped off. Doing God's will is a life lived worthy of the Lord, pleases God, means we bear fruit. It means that we grow in the knowledge of God. It's an amazing thing when you will do what he's told you to do. When we do as much as we know, we begin to know him better. I think some of us go, "I'm not sure how well I know God." Maybe it's because we don't ever do his will. Maybe when we stop doing what he's asking us to, we stop knowing him better. And lastly is that we get strengthened. That we be stronger. What do you think? Is that good? Well, that's a good prayer, isn't it? I think that's good. That's his desire for us. It's good. But there's another "so that." It's the second "so that." Bearing fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened brings this. "So that you may have great endurance and patience." And I need that. week and a half ago, well, just over a week ago, we were Friday night, we were cleaning up after VBS, and it was Sabrina and Campbell and Max and Annie and I, and Max was at that edge of needing to go to bed, and so his attitude was not real great. Mine was perfect, but and everything was his, and Annie and him were playing, and everything was his. It was mine, crying and throwing a fit, and I had enough. I was in the back of the stage of the gym, and they were on the stage, and I just let it out. I just bellowed, "Enough!" And it echoed through the gym, and I came out, and my little boy almost cowering because of my voice. And I came up to him, and I was still frustrated, and I put him in a timeout. Not a victory for me, okay? And I thought, as I went back to work, I thought, ah. And then I got irritated with myself because I thought, oh. If anybody would have walked in and said, oh, there's our pastor, that's great. That bothered me, but mostly what bothered me was every time I had to walk past my son and that look in his eyes. I need patience. And I want to finish this race. I need endurance. Ministry is not always easy. You guys don't always do what I want you to. Did you know that? I need patience. Man, the enemy wants me to give up often. I need endurance. What about you guys? We live in a society in the United States that there's some stuff that just seems like it's happening over the last 4 months or so that are just really irritating to me. Patience, endurance, I need it. Watching the politics, man, I'm scared about any of them that is going to get it. I need patience and endurance. Do you? Is that good? Is that a good prayer? Is that a good, we know and do God's will, we bear fruit, we grow in our knowledge of Him, we're strengthened. If we bear fruit, we know Him better and we're strengthened, then we get patience and endurance. We build it. God helps us in that. I think it's good. I hope you do too. Now I want to close with just one thought here. It's a trick question. I'm telling you before I ask it. But do you think that your desire and His desire are the same? Now as I've lived out my life, I would say, Sometimes I've chosen mine, I already told you that, and I didn't choose His. But ultimately, God's wired us. That there is something that when we hit it, it clicks in us. I don't know if that term makes sense to you guys. It works for me. It clicks. When it happens, it clicks in us because He's wired us a certain way. We chase after so many things that we think we're going to be able to satisfy ourselves. And every time we chase after what we think we want, it doesn't end up the way we think it is. It isn't satisfying. How many of us have thought, well, if I could just make a little bit more money? I think Bill Gates still thinks that. Something in us is searching to be satisfied. And that searching for what will satisfy us is the exact same thing that God desires for all of us. And the only place to find it is in doing His will. our desire his desires. They are the same. That should cause tension in you because you may want to argue that a little bit. It's because we don't believe it. We think we know better. Or we think he'll take us away from where we really want to go. Satisfaction isn't an easy life. Satisfaction is being in relationship with God, being at peace with him. That's the way we were wired. That's what we need. Psalm 37 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Some people want to read that as, if I do what God wants, then I get everything I want. If we do what God wants, he satisfies the needs that he wired us to have. We've been created in his image, therefore we have the need that he wants us to have. When we accepted Christ, we were given a new heart. Once again, he's instilled in us that his desires really are what we desire. So then the question then gets to, so what is his will for me? Maybe I don't know his will. That's false. We may not know 3 steps from now. We may not know 2 steps from now. But God is constantly guiding and he is giving us our next step. Challenges is that it's a step of faith. Are you going to take it? He doesn't give us all the details. But we know his will always, always come out of who he is, and it will always be good, and it will help us to bear fruit, it will help us to grow in our knowledge of him, and it will help us to become strong, and those things will give us patience and endurance. Those are the things we need. Those are the things we really do want. So what is that next step? We have enough information to get us started. Period. We may not have enough information to plan the whole trip, but it's not our plan anyway. So with that in mind, this is the statement I want you to go with this week. All right? Engage God's will, and the desires of your heart will be filled. Engage God's will. It's there. You just have to step into it. What's that one step? Will you stand with me, please? God, I have to admit that talking about what we want scares me. But down deep, at the very bottom of my heart, is I don't want to lose you. And that your desire is the same for me. It's the same for us. God, would you help us? Would you help us have that we be filled with the knowledge of your will through all wisdom and understanding? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.